I'm thankful for something. Donna and I have been watching a PBS documentary about Mark Twain. What a fascinating guy. Mark Twain said this, and it fits with what it struck me last night as we watched it. It was the first thing that he said in the second part of this documentary that we're watching. He said, "We never become really and genuinely our entire and honest selves until we are dead. And then, not even until we have been dead years and years. People ought to start dead, and then they would be honest so much earlier." Mark Twain. We are going to have our teaching here, but I want you to be thinking ahead, because during the prayer time, which comes after, I want you to be thinking about the things that you're thankful for and why. And there will be an opportunity for us to think about and express the things that we're grateful for, the things that we're thankful for. But I want you to be specific, because there's a tendency at Thanksgiving to think of the things that we're thankful for, and it can be Thanksgiving can be a bit sentimental, like so many holidays that we have. Christmas does the same thing sometimes. It can become very sentimentalized, and we lose kind of the gripping, meaty, edgy bit of Thanksgiving. Think about the things that you're grateful for, the good things in your life, the blessings, the classic blessings that we think of, those things that are comforts and enjoyable and just make your life really good, really comfy. And then I want you to think too, so that's the first thing, something I'm thankful for that's like really just good and pleasant and I'm thankful for it. And then what are the things that I'm becoming thankful for that I wasn't thankful for before? What are the things that I'm growing in my thankfulness for, my appreciation for? Things that were hard that I realize now are good. And then the third thing, well, that makes me think, what are the things that I need to be more thankful for? What are the things in my life that I'm not thankful for right now, but I should be, maybe? I should be thinking about those things and reflecting on them in a way that will change those things, because it changes me. What are you thankful for? That's just a comfort, like, you know, I'm thankful for Mark Twain PBS series, documentaries. Ken Burns, great documentary maker. I'm thankful for turkey, and I'm thankful for good food, and I'm thankful for work. I'm thankful I'm employed. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for good friends who love me and care for me. Yeah, those things are all good things to be thankful for, and we need to acknowledge that more often than we do, probably. What are the things that I am appreciating more, that I am growing in thankfulness for, and what are the things that I need to be more thankful for? Okay. And we will talk about that during our prayer time. When I was a kid, I've talked about being a kid before. I talked about when I was end of a long sibling, 8 kids. I'm the baby, older brothers and sisters who are always better at things than I was and always more competent. My next older brother to me, Tim, was a brother that is a brother I love dearly now. But when we were kids, there was not a day that went by that we did not fight and bicker and come to blows. And he was bigger and stronger than I was, so I regularly got pounded by my older brother. And yet I always placed myself in situations where I would get into something with him, because one thing that I was better at than he was I was better at getting under his skin. So I could do that and somehow thought I'd won. You know, I mean, he'd punch me out, but somehow I thought I'd won, because then he'd get in trouble from mom, right? And so it was this constant game that we were playing. Weird. I always wanted to tag along with him. I always wanted to be where he was and with his friends. I had my own friends, but I really liked hanging out with him and with his friends. They're a little bit older, 2 years older, and they were so cool. And I mean, I'm talking when I was like 8 or 9, you know. I remember his best friend was an Italian kid named Roberto. His mother, Roberto. She would talk to him. She would talk to him in Italian. She could not speak English. She spoke to him in Italian, and he would answer back in English. And she'd speak to him in Italian, and he'd say something else in English. And I remember one time saying to him, you know, it's like, it's fine if we're over at your house and you want to speak Italian with your mom. Like, it's, I don't mind if you, he said, what are you talking about? I can't speak Italian. Your mom was speaking Italian and you were, yeah, I understand it, but I can't talk. I can't speak Italian. My mom doesn't speak any English, but she understands it all. She just doesn't speak it. So she speaks in Italian and I speak in English. And I remember she said something to him. She could say a few things. She could say hello. She could say nice. And she could say eat. She could say eat. She said that a lot. Whenever we went over to her place, we were always being fed these wonderful, everything homemade, these wonderful homemade little pastries and these beautiful little things. And they weren't like, they weren't fancy people. They weren't rich people. His dad was this real, like, working guy. I don't know what he did, probably something to do with concrete, I think. He always, you know, working up. No, it's true. He worked. It was something to do with construction and that sort of thing and the way he worked. And he always came home with this lunch pail. And I remember him. He spoke English in this great, thick Italian accent. Very funny, laughing guy. Very jovial. Great guy. I remember being at their house, and she said something to Roberto, and Roberto talked back to her, and then he turned to us, me and Tim, and said, my mom says we gotta go, because we're having our family reunion. And then she said something else, and then he said, oh, if you want to come, you can come. It's a potluck. Bring something to share. Like, so just go home and meet us at the park and bring something to share. Like, what do you mean, bring something to share? Like, some food. Bring some food. It's potluck. Everything's potluck. You know, just bring something and bring something to share. And then, you know, for food. Oh, we've got to bring our own food. What are we going to do? So Tim hopped on his bike, and I had just learned to ride a bike, so I was quite far behind him. He got home first, and he ran into the kitchen, and he whipped open the fridge door. And there wasn't much there for a family of eight. There was a package of bologna, but it was a bit open and the corners. You know how the corners will start to curl up a little bit? And it was kind of dry. And there was one piece. And he took it out of the package, and he grabbed a couple. There was some bread, but it was just the crusts. It kind of wrapped up in the bag and the two crusts together. And he pulled those out, and he grabbed the jar of mustard. And it was, you know how it gets all brown and kind of crusty when it's right down to the bottom and you can't quite get it out with a knife? Like, it just doesn't. And so he took the piece of bologna and he kind of swirled it around inside the jar and cleaned it out really well so it had all the crusty bits of mustard on the bologna. And then he slapped it between the two pieces of bread and he started to head out the door just as I came in the door. And I looked at the fridge, and I realized there was nothing for me to take. And I called up, and I said, Mom, Dad, Mom, Tim has taken the last food. We're going to the picnic at the park with Roberto's family, and there's nothing for me to take. And Mom yelled down from upstairs, Timmy, She called him Timmy. I love that. Timmy, take this sandwich and rip it in half and cut it in half. She said, and give Joey half. And so Tim, he didn't cut it. He ripped the sandwich exactly in half and gave me the smaller half. And he got on his bike and he headed toward the park. And I got on my bike and I couldn't ride my bike with one hand. So I put the sandwich in my pocket and I rode to the park. And I got there and I couldn't see Tim. For all the people that were in the park, they were all Roberto's family. There were so many people I'd never seen before. Maybe, I don't know, in my little kid head, you know, I mean, maybe there were 60 or 70 of them, but in my head it felt like there were hundreds of them. And they filled one area around where all the picnic tables, and they pulled all the picnic tables from all over the park. And they brought barbecues. I don't mean like little hibachi. They brought big barbecues. And this was a long time ago, right? They were oil drums cut in half on racks. And they had fire going underneath them. And they were barbecuing stuff. They had so much stuff. It was like a massive picnic. And there was all this stuff. And there were picnic tables all spread out. And they had food. They had so much food. And they had music. They had live musicians. I saw Roberto's dad. He was playing the accordion. And there was a guy playing the fiddle. And another guy playing the kind of like a mandolin thing. And they were singing all these songs in Italian. And they had bottles of wine. Big bottles of wine. And they homemade stuff, I think. And they were singing. And there were all these tables of food. I mean, imagine it. See it in the park. Picnic table after picnic table after picnic table put end to end to end. And there was one whole stretch of tables. There was nothing but salads. Eesh. But what kinds of salads? I mean, like there were green leafy salads, yeah. And there were salads with stuff in it that I'd never seen before. And colors that I'd never seen before. And there were potato salads, and there were bean salads, and there were, how many different kinds of salads can you think of? Can you think of, what are some different kinds of salads? Yes. Of course, there were like 7 or 8 different kinds of pasta salad there. What other salads are there? Salads. What is it? Coleslaw. Coleslaw. Now, that's not a particularly Italian thing, but they had coleslaw. I think they must have looked it up on the 1965 equivalent of the internet. And they had another set of tables. It was nothing but like breads. So many different kinds of breads, like these long sticks and these buns. And some of them, they seemed like they were still warm and they were soft. And then they had these other buns that were really crusty, but the bread and the dough inside them, it was so soft. And they had buns that were stuffed with things. They had meat and different kinds of sandwiches and cheeses. They had one table that was nothing but cheese. It was all different kinds of cheese. Boards and boards full of cheese. They had a table that was nothing but meat. It was all different kinds of meat. Everything you could think of. There was lamb, and they were cooking it on the barbecues. Lamb and little pork chops and little tiny steaks, little tiny things like that. And then they had these big roasted things where they were slicing it and they were shaving it. And they had all kinds of cold meats too, these prosciuttos and all these different sliced meats, these beautiful, beautiful things. And then they had one table that was nothing but dessert. Oh, man. Actually, it wasn't just one table. It was about 6 tables. And they were all spread out. Whipped cream and berries and so much food. So much stuff. Fruit. Pastries. Cakes. Pies. Little tiny things. I don't know what they were, but they were full of stuff in them. And they were sweet. And everything was dusted with icing sugar. And everything looked so beautiful. It was so delicious. And then Roberto's father saw me. And he said, "Oh, Joey, welcome. Just put whatever you brought on the table and join the rest of us. Help yourself." And I reached around. I thought, this is all I've brought. This is all I've brought. This is all I have. Look at this. And I walked away. I walked away and I walked over, away from everybody, and I walked behind these rocks and these bushes, and I pulled my sandwich out, and I sat down and I leaned against the rock. And I started to eat my sandwich by myself. Last week we talked about blessing. And we talked about how we are blessed and we are called to be a blessing to others. God doesn't give any blessings that are not to be shared. All the things we have are gifts from God. And Paul goes on in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. There it is. Colossians 3. Verses 1 to 17. Now, he's been talking about how we are dead in Christ. We are dead in Christ. And he uses that image a lot. He uses that metaphor a lot. He talks about how we're dead in Christ. And being dead, we are then given resurrection. We are being raised. It's something that we look forward to as something that will happen, just as the crucifixion and death of Christ, of Jesus, and his death and bodily resurrection are something that I affirm and I look forward to it. And Paul affirmed and Paul made very clear that that was very important. And that, yes, we live bodily now and we will die and we will be raised bodily. It's a mystery, and yes, he affirmed that. And it spoke to something deeper, that we are always dying and being raised, that death is part of our lives. Spiritually, we live, we die to what was before, and we are being raised. And so in Colossians, he says this: "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, uncircumcised or circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. We are in the very difficult task of being raised from the dead, of being resurrected, of dying and of being raised. And Paul lays this out as a spiritual battle that is happening with all of us. And we're called to embrace this dying, to let it happen, and to actually include the things that we need to include. To think about the things that are dying in us, that we need to be thankful they're dying. And we need to let them die. We need to look at the things in our own lives and in our life as a community together and let those things die. And those are hard things. Paul doesn't minimize that. Jesus never minimized that. He knows that it's hard. And the Spirit knows that it's hard for us. And that the only alternative isn't good. Just joking this morning with somebody about getting older, feeling old. And we acknowledge that, you know, getting old is hard. But the alternative to getting older isn't very good, because there's only one alternative to getting older, and that's dying. And so what Jesus calls us to do, what Paul calls us to do, is embrace that dying. It's part of what we're doing. It's part of our spiritual journey, because we're looking forward to something that's being raised. When things die in us, when these things that we do, the way we interact with each other, or the things that we allow to weigh us down, when those things die in us, something else is being raised in us. I sat behind that rock eating my small half, crusty, cruddy bologna sandwich. I sat there until Roberto's father came around the corner and saw me. And in his sort of gruff but kind of jovial way, he said, "Joey, what are you doing sitting here? What is that? Why are you sitting off by yourself?" And I said something about, "Well, this is all I have. This is all I brought." And he said, No. "You don't understand. It's potluck. Everybody comes. Everybody comes and brings what they have. brings whatever they have and they put it on the table. They share whatever they have. And then everybody shares. And then you eat whatever you want. Oh, that's when I learned what potluck meant. But I had to still take my sandwich and put it on the table. That inadequate, meager thing that I had that wasn't even mine. It was half of what my brother had done. I couldn't even say that it was really even mine that I was offering, because it was a begrudging gift that my brother had left me. And I put that on the table. That's what we're called to do. What are the things in my life that I need to let die? What are the things that I need to let go of? Those things that are dying in me anyway. Those things that are dragging me down. What are the things in your life that are being stripped away from you? And it's hard as they're being taken away. It's hard to let go of them. But you can feel them slipping out of your hand. And you're thankful that you seem to be moving away from those things. Be thankful for that. Be thankful that there are things in you that are dying, because it's the only way that the resurrection comes. And what are the things that need to die? What are the things... get that. What are the things that need to die? What are the things... whoop, whoop, wow. What are the things that need to go? What are the next things that are not dead? They're very much alive in your life and they're killing you. What are the things you'd be thankful for if they died too? Because that's where resurrection will come. That's where all of the abundance that God has for you will come. That's where all of the gifts that God is offering to us, that's where they come. But it's not easy getting there. And so as we go now into a time of prayer, as we go into a time where I'll lead us as a community through a time of prayer, and then I'm going to invite you, when we'll take a moment to praise God, we'll take a moment to confess to God, and we'll take a moment to ask God about some of the things that we need. But before we ask Him for the things we need, we're going to take a moment of thanksgiving. So praise, confession, thanksgiving, and then we'll ask God for what we need. But during that time of thanksgiving, I really want to encourage you. It'll be interactive, audience participation piece, kind of like people calling out different kinds of salads. I want you to turn to somebody, go find somebody that you don't know real well. Somebody that you know less well than the people you know really well. I want to encourage you to do that. And I want you to name, I'm going to give you time to do this, name one thing you're really thankful for. You don't need to explain it. Just what is it? What are you really thankful for? What's a hard thing that you're thankful for? That you're growing to be thankful for, something you weren't thankful for before, but you're coming to be thankful for. And if you have the courage, what's something that you need to be thankful for, that you're not thankful for, but that you're wondering whether God is calling you to be thankful for? Something you're thankful for, something you didn't used to be thankful for, but are growing in thanks. Something you're not thankful for, but maybe God is asking you to be thankful for. Let's take a moment, think about it, pause, don't panic. You're all sitting in new places anyway, right? Because it's October and you have name tags. So that person, probably the person that you're going to talk to that you don't know very well, at least you'll have a name tag and you won't have to fake that you know their name. Or you'll be able to fake you know their name. Let's be silent before God as a community together. We pray. God, we praise you. You are holy. You are set apart. I would invite you right now to say a word, a short phrase that describes what you know of God. A word, a phrase, just say it out loud. Acknowledging who He is, who God is. God, all these words of praise we lift to you, all these things we have said out loud, and all those words that we had in our minds and we didn't say out loud, but they're words we know describe you. Those words that are in our hearts that we don't kind of have words for. We lift them all up to you and praise you, offer them to you as mere acknowledgement of who you are. And we confess, we admit, maybe is a closer word, we admit to who we are. We admit to the good we desire to do and the shortcomings that we have, the failures, the things that we don't do, we want to do and we don't do, the things we don't want to do and we do. I'd invite you silently or in a word or phrase, describe your growing understanding of yourself. Who are we before God? Let's admit that and acknowledge that now. And God, taking all of these words that we have spoken out loud and those words that are inside our heads, those words that are difficult, and those words of affirmation that we know to be true, that we are loved by you, that we are made in your image, that we are called. And that we long to live in right relationship with you. We long for that. And so we lift all of these words up to you. in thankfulness. God, we have so much to be thankful for. We have such abundance here in this land. We have such abundance in this time in the life of the world. In this place and in this time, we have so much. And we are grateful for the many comforts that we have. Grow in us hearts of gratitude. And so we acknowledge before you and to each other those things that we are thankful for, those things that we were not thankful for before, but we are coming to be thankful for. And those things that we need to learn to be thankful for. And so as we acknowledge these things before you and before the body of Christ gathered here, I would invite all of us to respond. Lift your head up, open your eyes, still in an attitude of prayer, for prayer does not have to only be sitting with eyes closed and head bowed. But prayer can be in the words that we speak to each other. And so I'd invite you now, get up if you can. And if you're able to move and some other people are not as able to move and there's somebody there that you don't know all that well, they're not like your closest inner circle of friends, I'd invite you to go and find some people who are sitting. And go and take a few minutes now. What are you thankful for? Just one thing. I'm thankful for this. I didn't used to be thankful for this, and I'm coming to be thankful for it. If you can. And I need to think about being more thankful for this third thing. God, I thank you that this is what the prayers of your people looks like. This is what the prayers of the people sounds like. God, thank you that you inhabit the prayers of the people. Thank you that you live in the prayers of the people. And that as we talk to each other, God, I thank you that that is a time of prayer. When we share the things in our lives that are going on in our lives, the thanks that we have, I'm grateful to you that that is a time of prayer. When we acknowledge the things that we're struggling with, God, I thank you that that is a time of prayer. When we are challenged by things in our lives that we know are coming and they're painful and they're hard and we want what's on the other side of that, but the only way through it, God, is to die. Make us more honest. Make us more honest. To face those things, to be with us through them, and to be with us on the other side, for your blessings are so abundant and so good, so deep and so rich. And so for all the things that we need, those concerns that we have, those cares and longings that we have, we offer them now to you in a moment of quiet reflection. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who have died. We pray for those who grieve. And we thank you that you are present with us in our grief. And you grieve with us. For you know what it is to lose the one you love. God, we thank you for all these things. And we hold up our needs to you. All of our fears, all of our longings, all of our hopes and desires, we hold them up to you. We long for these things. Help us to die to those things that hold us back from your will. Help us to come and to join the blessings, bringing whatever meager offering we have, ourselves, ourselves, which is only a gift from you to begin with, to offer that to you in everything we do in our lives, here and in every other place. Amen.